shucking jive.
All you racing fans, stand up, clap your feet. I mean, clap your heads.
Welcome to the Goat Rodeo.
Live from the CRN Studios in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is Racing Through History.
Hello, race fans. Welcome to another edition of the Goat Rodeo. My name is Jeff Gilder. I'm tickled to death to be here. Hope you are, too. Good Tuesday, 1 week away from 4th of July Eve. Here we are. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Good. Good. Good. Good. Good. Good. Good. Got the crew here. Cody is coming in a little bit later, so we'll have a full house. Let's get around and say hello to everybody. Hello, Coastal Jack Walker. How you doing tonight,
man? Doing great, man.
Good, good, good. You got a Carolina Race Place historic race?
Yes, I do.
Where are we going this week, man?
We're going to Nashville, Tennessee, 1971. Kind of a happy and sad story.
Oh, okay.
So we'll leave that for later.
Contrast.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the Bopper's here. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Jefferson, doing good.
Good, man.
Doing good. I had a big write-up for my segment. And left it at the store.
The dog ate your homework.
The dog ate my homework.
Well, it was raining too much. I couldn't take it out.
Yep. I don't buy that.
My segment.
Segment. And Hewlin Oval Crash Splitter, the man on the street, is here tonight. How you doing, Splitter?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, good, man.
I don't have a thing written down, but I've got it all up here.
Okay, I believe that when I see it. All right.
You ain't got much up there.
Hey, I got my Goat Rodeo hat on. Where's yours?
Out west in the lair, the legend is there. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Jeff. The weather has even quit raining long enough for me to actually have cut the grass, finally.
That's good, man. So you're half grass. You're a half grass, right?
Yeah, you know, it was so thick from a week of rain that it actually stalled out my lawnmower twice. Twice.
So, have you got a legendorial for us tonight? What are you going to talk about?
I've got something we're going to talk about. Yes, sir.
You're going to keep us in suspense?
Yeah, why not? Suspenders are always good.
They are.
Yeah, not as tight as belts.
Do we have a Nickersontorial?
Nickersontorial. I didn't bring Nickerson on. Does Nickerson have a Nickersontorial tonight? Hello, Nickerson. Are you out there, man? Let us know if you have a Toriel.
Yeah, Alex is there. I'm sure you see him on chat.
I'm not looking at chat. I got too many other things going
You're
on.
You're trying to run somebody else off.
Neither am I, for other reasons.
I got to go put the TV show up on the website. So you guys talk for a minute, will you?
All right, we'll talk for a minute. I don't know what we'll talk about. I guess we'll talk about the fact that I can't get on the chat line.
What is the deal with you in the chat line?
I do not know. I think
it's 100% cockpit error.
I think the system just doesn't like. But
That's like since the format changed, whatever. I've had one problem after another. But I always stumble through for some reason that God only knows. I don't know how I get to where I get to. Which, by the way, have you all heard about the huge cyber hacking that's gone all over Europe and the U.S. apparently? You know, everybody's scrambling to update security and all this. Update their secure, or whatever they got.
That's why you can't get on.
That's right. I've been hacked.
He's been hacked.
The
Russians did it.
So what they hacked this time,
they've colluded with Hewlin.
They've hacked everything, Jeff. According to what I heard on the news, they have hacked everything.
Are the Russians behind it?
Probably.
Or is the Chinese acting like the Russians?
Could be the Syrians.
Could be.
Or is it somebody in Pyongyang?
I don't know. Is anybody in... Never mind. Let's talk right now.
All right. I have to show up playing on the website now. We're good to go. All right. All right. All right. Let's talk about things. So let's talk about racing things.
That'd be a good thing.
What kind of racing things went on this weekend? Jack, take it away.
Well, we had the big race out in on the West Coast. And it turned out to be fair, in my opinion. I'm not real big on road racing. How about you, Bobby?
It's all about pit strategy. Yeah. Pit strategy and all. If it plays out for you, you look like a hero. If it doesn't, you it's can't like be fast. You cannot be fast enough to overcome it.
Every time I think I'm getting back into road racing or into road racing, the next race I change my mind.
None other than Sheldon Runt Pittman called me yesterday and today.
Are you serious?
Serious as a bus wreck.
Well, he had some parts to bring back under warranty.
Yeah, Sheldon Runt Pittman has won the Daytona 500, ladies and gentlemen, and three different times.
And he called you wanting to bring back a tie rod, Andy, bought in 1986.
He was working on a 98 Chevrolet truck, his own truck. But anyway, we talked a little bit about the racing, and he agreed that road racing is its own animal. The pit thing, you can't overcome it if it don't fall your way. You just can't. So anyway, it is what it is, and if it works, it works. But I had read or heard or both that they were expecting a big crowd at Sonoma. There was a few overhead shots that did not confirm that.
Fake news.
Yep. Yeah, the Sonoma crowd, they must have all been under the stands buying souvenirs.
Yeah, that's where they go. Yeah,
A large expanse of empty seats, Bopper.
Well, I agree, Tim. There was a very large, but they was all under the stands buying souvenirs.
Now, that's a Speedway Motorsports track, isn't it?
It is a Bruton.
Yeah.
Car.
Speedway Motorsports.
Yeah.
Yep, it is Brute car.
And I think the sad thing, even when you looked around when they would show you the shots, there weren't that many motorhomes. You know, there just weren't people at that track.
Yeah.
Well, and then I saw today, I don't remember the point, whatever
that.
It was, but the TV ratings are lowest since 1998.
Yeah, I just read 1.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Bisco is on chat.
Billy Bisco.
Where has he been?
Billy Bisco.
The famous Billy Bisco.
I saw his profile trying to chat, and then it went away.
Maybe he's been hacked. Maybe that wasn't really him.
He's on there.
He is on, and I am not.
Yeah.
Wow, this is unbelievable, Jack. I just got a text.
Ron Pittman?
No.
Tracy McLam?
Well, kind of.
Kind of. All right.
No, I just got a picture of Hop Holmes in seventh grade.
Are you serious?
Has a heart attack.
Does he have a Crown Royal with him?
Right there, Hobson.
Oh, gosh.
That looks like it, doesn't it? Hobson Holmes. All right. Well, that
yeah, I checked the online status, and it says Billy's on there, and his profile was it looked like it was in the, you know how it looks when you're trying to type in a chat.
Yep.
There it is.
Billy Wade Bisco.
Segment racing don't coincide very well with road course racing from Billy Bisco. It's on the chat line.
I totally agree with that.
Well, this race was segmented. You know, they had segment winners.
And Kevin Harvick won 2 days in a row. I think he also won the K&N race on Saturday.
He did.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He did. And then he won the big race.
Yeah.
But, you know, road racing is weird. You can get in wrecks and stuff and wind up winning the race.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, nothing makes any difference. It just happens. If you pit at the right time, man,
it's all about the pit.
Yeah,
it's all about the pit strategy and pure luck.
Yeah, because you can't, you know what you would like to do, but you can't make that happen, you know. What you want to do is pit almost the time to pit, you want to pit under green, yeah, and nobody else pit, and then you go back out, and then you want the yellow to come
right
out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly, the rest of them will pit.
And you're,
who is that?
That's what you want to happen. Of course, you can't make that.
The number nine car ended up being in that position. They said if they have a caution now in the next two or three laps, he will be on the lead lap all by himself. And I don't even know who drives the number nine car.
I don't think there is.
Yep.
Yeah, how long has it been since you've heard those words
from
a race reporter? He's on the lap by himself.
Right.
Yeah. Used to hear it a lot.
Yeah. Yep. And fill in the blank, finished 2.5 laps ahead of the second place car.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you heard that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say that's because they didn't have segment racing, and that's because they didn't have all the bogus debris cautions that they can come up with now. They don't have lucky dogs. They didn't have waiver rounds and all that good stuff.
And they didn't have computer designed identical bodies.
So am I hearing that all you guys are saying that all that's made the racing better?
How about just exactly the opposite?
Well, I don't know that the racing, when we liked it, I don't know that the racing was that good. We just liked it.
We just liked it a lot.
We just liked it.
We didn't care. They could have run around backwards and we liked it.
Didn't care. I mean, we didn't care. We just liked going.
Well, I kind of go back to what I said some time ago. You know, back then, Bobby, the scoreboard only had five positions, and you didn't know if somebody was a lap down or not.
So. And didn't much care.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you could always watch fights in the grandstands.
Yeah. It didn't matter because you were at the race.
Yeah.
Right. You were there seeing and hearing and smelling the race.
Yeah. Yeah, so we didn't really care. It wasn't a high priority for it to be a good race. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to be too analytical now, like we had so many passes and blah, 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 and all that. You're just analyzing it to death. We just like to be there.
Yeah, right. I remember the first time I went to the Southern 500, hearing those bombs go off they used to do at every, I don't know, when they – ready to introduce people. They did it before the race. It was kind of leading up to the race. The parade
lap that.
And all that kind of stuff. That was
the only way they had to get your attention.
That was exciting, man.
They done that. That started the first year when they had to let people in the infield because there were so many that didn't know what to do with them, so they let them in there. And every morning they would set a bomb off.
Wake them all up
and run them out so they could, get back in there another time, hopefully buy a ticket. But that's where the bomb wake them up and run them out.
I can remember going to Daytona, and every day they would clean the infield out, and you'd have to go buy a ticket to get back in the next day. And the Saturday night for Sunday morning was a mess, because that's back when they might not have been selling out, but back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a lot of people there. And to clean the infield out on Saturday afternoon after the race and then line back up and open the gates at 7 o'clock Sunday morning.
Well, Hugh, since you're talking, lead us off, man. What do you got?
Well, I watched the race, and I enjoyed the race. I thought there was some really good competition. I still haven't made up my mind about the segments, but I do think that it makes for tighter competition. It keeps some of the people from hanging back, waiting until the last 25 laps to race. I think it makes the competition a little tighter. I enjoyed the race from a standpoint of the fact that that all those guys, or most of them, were out there racing, and there were very, very, very few cars finished the race without being all beat up. It's been a long time since, in fact, it looked more like a Saturday night Bowman Gray race than it did a cup race. The cars really looked sad. Most all of them that were in any kind of competition at all, they kept talking about Keselowski's car and how bad it was going to be, and he couldn't handle it. He was right up front the whole day with the whole left front corner askew on it. Danica Patrick's car got torn up. Little E's got torn up really bad, and he was right in the competition. What did he finish, third?
Danica Patrick's boyfriend ran into her and tore her up.
Yeah. I wouldn't have wanted to be in that motorhome Sunday night.
In my motorhome.
Yeah.
It was probably shaking for another reason.
Yeah, for reasons other than the usual.
If the motorhome's rocking, don't come knocking.
Don't come knocking. Well, they won't let you in the paddock where the drivers are anyway.
She was poleaxed by him.
Yeah. But I thought the competition was good, yeah. for whatever reason.
I think it knocked the Ricky Stenhouse automobile out of the race, didn't it?
Yeah,
knocked
him out.
Up. They couldn't. See, you can't add nothing to the fixture. You cannot add nothing. His whole fender was gone.
Well,
with a lot of other men.
I think it ruined the left front suspension on it was what put him out.
They couldn't add nothing.
I think it bent the upper A-frame or something, but... And I think that's real sad that they force you off the track. That's supposedly saving you money, but in the scheme of things, it doesn't save any money. Not when you have to bring two haulers and a support tractor trailer to every race you go to. The fact that you can't put a fender back on it is irrelevant to me. You ought to be able to fix whatever you can fix. Sure. You're not going to win the race, but at least you're in it for the points.
Here's a roundtable discussion, guys. Tim and Alex, if Alex is on, this is a who is going to fill the 88 seat in your personally opinion next? That is the biggest plum in NASCAR. At the end of the year, Little E's stepping out. So then what domino is going to fall first? And then that will set a chain reaction.
It's good conversation.
Yeah,
I don't have a clue.
Who are the Hendrick development drivers? I'm not sure.
That guy named William Bryan.
Yeah,
who's running
Byron. Byron.
Yeah.
That's running for JR Motorsports.
But they think he's nowhere near ready to move up at this point. I mean, he might have a lot of potential.
Yeah, same thing with like Josh Berry, who drives for Earnhardt on the car series.
Yeah, and some of you, all y'all out on the chat line, feel free to.
I would wonder about somebody like getting stolen from another team like Kyle Larson.
Well, obviously, that's going to be somebody's going to be stolen. Unless Carl Edwards comes back, then somebody's going to be stolen.
Somebody's going to be disappointed.
Alex said William Byron.
I agree. I think William Byron, of course. Patrick, for what little sense he has, picks Alex Bowman.
He's a good driver, but I'm not sure I don't know.
He hasn't been around that long.
He's ready for the big time, but then was Little E ever ready for the big time?
That's true.
Well, that could that'll be interesting to see, and it'll start happening.
Might surprise you. Might end up like somebody like Ryan Blaney. Not Ryan Blaney. Ryan.
Seek.
God. Having a blank. Forget it.
Is his name
it's
Ryan?
It's gone. It'll come to me in a second.
This is scary. My smartphone just said that Jack Walker's nearby.
That's true.
Yeah. But what about somebody like Elliott Sadler?
Elliott's getting kind of old.
Yeah, that's
going to
happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Well, Brad Keselowski said that he wanted to stay with the Penske thing, but he has connections with Little E and Hendrick and all of that. They have a history of sorts.
What about the
and is he in a contract year?
I don't know.
Brad Keselowski.
I think he is.
I think he is too. Yeah. So he is theoretically in play. Theoretically.
Well, to add a little bit of twist to all of this conversation, I guess all of you have heard that there's a strong rumor that Dodge will be back next year.
Same rumor we've had for the last 3 years.
So if
I don't think they could do it now.
If that comes to pass, will that change anything?
I don't think they can.
I don't know. Maybe that will allow them to get a full 40-car field again.
Yeah. They sure haven't had much luck at it this year.
How many did they have at Sonoma, Tim?
38. 37 at Michigan, 38 at Sonoma. And they had people in Sonoma, the guy whose name I can't remember now from Israel.
Boris Sid?
No, guy was from Israel. It was like, I don't even remember what he was driving, but It was a real unique name, you know. But anyway, they mentioned him, I think, twice, and that really surprised me that they had him as a diversity driver. Alon Day, that's Patrick came through. Or as somebody said on Fox, a long day.
Doesn't he drive on the Euro Series, NASCAR Euro Series?
I had never heard of him before Sunday. Never had.
All right, Tim.
Somebody said Ryan Truex.
Yeah, Ryan Truex. That's who I was trying to think of. Yeah, Ryan Truex.
That might have been Alex. That's Alex F.L.
I tell you what, the older I get, the more I forget.
Ryan Truex.
All right, so Tim.
Sir.
Take it away.
Will do. If any of you saw the Xfinity race Saturday night, what'd you think about it? Did you happen to realize, did you happen to notice, or did it even concern you, there was not one Cup driver in that race?
Yay.
Not a single one. No candy-stealing jerk managed to show up because he was in California. But they had what I consider a really good race. And they were running 3 and 4 abreast around that track on several occasions by young guys. I watched it for 2 races. I had gotten in from Sam's All-Star Soccer Game in Anderson. And somebody had emailed me and told me, hey, there weren't going to be any Cup drivers in there. I said, hey, I might be willing to watch that. And then somebody else emailed me and said, and there won't be any Waltrips in the sound booth. I said, well, you got me, boy. Let me get some and watch this race. So as I'm watching the drivers being introduced, with the exception of Elliott Sadler, maybe a couple more, most of them were in their upper teens to their mid to late 20s. And some of them, because I have not been watching the Xfinity races, I hadn't even really heard of it, didn't even really know. So the race gets started, and here you go, and everybody's out there racing as hard as they can run and putting on a really, really good show. Look up in the grandstands. Hey, now, I realize this is Iowa, and they don't get an awful lot of racing up there, but they had a pretty decent crowd in the grandstand. Certainly more than they had in Sonoma on Sunday, would be my guess. But the racing was good all the way down the line. Then, of course, it comes back, starts out on social media. Hey, well, you know, the racing wasn't as good because they didn't have big stars there. Then somebody throws up the old, you know, they need the big stars there so they can learn. Well, you guys think about this. You think about high school. Remember the B squad football team? That was to learn. The junior varsity B squad, or junior varsity team, that was to learn. The varsity team, that was to play. They did not send varsity football players back down to play in the B squad. That's how the B squad learned to play, so they could move on to the next level, the next level. I'm not buying this stuff that you can put these Cup drivers in there to teach these boys. Now, we're going back to William Byron one Saturday night. He had that race at Michigan in the back till brainless Denny Hamlin side-slammed him out of the way to win by 1/1000th or 12/1000th of a second, whatever it was he won. But he had something to win. And I think that was a part of Byron's inexperience. Certainly, if it had been somebody else, he'd probably slammed Hamlin back. Then have somebody else to complain about, since I understand he's really not Dale Jr. right now. So we'll see what happens to Daytona and see exactly what they're going to be doing with Denny Hamlin and Dale Jr. But that was the best Xfinity race that I had seen in probably 8 or 10 years. And admit, I watched any of the issues, so I can't compare it to give the book. We'll say, because we didn't have the Cup drivers. We had the young learning guys. We saw a real race. The only thing that really screws us up is going back to that same clean air issue that we're finding everywhere else that NASCAR cannot seem to learn what it will take to fix that issue. But I'm proud of my boy for winning it. I'm seeing him in second. That was this nice position here. And I think both of those guys have got a good future. We'll see what happens. But again, we need to get these truck drivers out of the expense and out of the truck racing and let each one of those series stand there. Now, truck racing, I have not watched in 3 years. That's because they got a mouth whiny butt from Kentucky. They can't keep his mouth shut long enough. So I've got no use for the truck racing because of him. Now, they should know this. In case you have not heard, remember Eldora. Remember the Eldora truck race? Fantastic audience came to the first and watched the TV. And that was on Fox. Then it went to Fox Sports 1. Then it went to Fox Sports 2. Guess where it is this year, dear hearts? Fox Business Network.
What, Tim, what is that now? I didn't understand the we're having the...
Yeah, you're kind of cutting in and out.
Coming in and out.
Fox Business Network.
Is doing
Fox,
what?
The race.
What race? The Eldora race?
Eldora.
The truck race at Eldora?
Yes. Yes, it'll be televising the truck race at Eldora.
On Wednesday night.
Fox Business Network.
Yep. Fox Business Network. And Lou Dobbs is totally pissed.
Yeah.
He is getting ready to take the network to task over that. But that just goes to show you, if you don't think television networks are jerking NASCAR's chain,
oh yeah,
look at that.
Yeah.
How many cable systems have Fox Business behind us? And I think about an awful lot of people that don't have
Fox. I have it because I watch it and Fox News almost exclusively.
Yeah.
Well, I heard they were going to try to get it on Fox News, and Sean Hannity raised so much hell they had to forget that.
All right, Tim, that was cool, man. Coastal Jack Walker, you want to go next, or Bobby, did you find all your stuff?
I probably could do something based
on... You need more time, or are you ready?
I'll make an attempt at this.
All right, go ahead.
What I had started on was, as we're approaching the 4th of July period, that's always been a sort of a red letter date in auto racing. I guess it's because, you know, it's a holiday that comes in the summer, you know, and auto races always tried to rally around it. Remember, Jack, when they would always have at the local track, have a fireworks display on 4th of July?
Yeah, I do. I remember at Timminsville one time, they had such a big fireworks display, they had to cut the purse and the driver started leaving.
Well, not counting that time. It's usually a festive occasion. So I'm just thinking off the top of my head, I just happened to remember that the first, I think last week we talked about the first Strictly Stock race, which was on June the 19th at Charlotte. And the next Strictly Stock race was something hastily thrown together to be run at the Beach Road Course at Daytona, which they were, Big Bill was trying to get her on July the 4th. But according to records that I was looking at earlier, it was actually on July the 10th. The 4th of July race, which was the second Strictly Stock race, was not on the 4th of July. It was...
I wonder if they had a rain out or something.
It was actually on July the 10th of 1949 and won by Red Byron. In a 49 Oldsmobile. Actually, Oldsmobile swept the first four positions with Tim Flock second, Frank Rebel Mundy third, Joe Littlejohn was fourth, and Bill Blair.
Frank Mundy was from somewhere up north, and he had a light bulb on the back of his car that said, "I've seen the light."
Wasn't he Frank Rebel Mundy?
Yeah,
he was. Yeah.
That's what they called him.
Well, anyway, Bill Blair was fifth in a 49 Lincoln. I bet she was powered by a flathead. Probably was. Huh. Might have been a V12. But anyway, I got to go along this path of 4th of July NASCAR races, and I come to an interesting. In 1951, they was having what amounts to a northern swing during the 4th of July, and all of this started out at, let's see if I'm at the right, 1951, Grand Rapids, Michigan. July the 1st, 1951, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And every one of these races was on a half-mile dirt track, 200 laps. They stayed with that format forever and a day. But there was a race at Grand Rapids, Michigan on July the 1st. On July the 8th, a week later, at Bainbridge. Where is that at? Bainbridge, Ohio. A week later. Fonnie Flock won that. Dick Rathman was second. And Frank Rebel Mundy, again, was third. Frank Rebel Mundy had it going on in 1951. And what I was trying to find was, when did NASCAR get to Raleigh? Because that became the fourth of July stalwart for many years, and it was about 1955, I think, was the first 4th of July race.
Now, they ran some modified races there at Raleigh a couple of years, and they kind of alternated with Darlington, because Darlington was doing the modified race on July 4th.
I think the first Raleigh Speedway, 4th of July, was 1956, possibly. Because I think 1955... they was in Spartanburg. But listen, this is the season that I wanted y'all to look at. It was actually 1952. 1952 season, July the 1st, they was at Niagara Falls, half-mile dirt. It was actually Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, Stanford Park. So this is an international race, all right? Finishing first, this is on July the 1st, a Tuesday night, Buddy Schumann in a 52 Hudson, followed by Herb Thomas, another 52 Hudson, and finishing third and the last car running in the event. The third place guy was a guy named Ray Duhigg.
Duhigg?
And... the interesting thing about Ray Duhigg is his car owner was Julian Petty.
Wow.
So there's got to be a story there.
Yeah, he shortened his name from Duhiggy.
She was number 44. That's a Petty type of number, ain't it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Ray Duhigg, Julian Petty was the owner. She was a 51 Plym. Lee Petty was also in this race. And finished next to last with engine problems. There was three cars running. Ray Duhigg was the third one. All right. That was on July 1st. 3 days later, July the 4th, the series moved to Owego, New York. Not Oswego, it's Owego. Friday, July the 4th, so this is the actual holiday race, Wine Creek Racetrack, Owego, New York, 200 laps on a half-mile dirt track. Finishing first again was Tim Flock in the 51 Hudson, Herb Thomas second in a Hudson, Dick Rathman third in a Hudson, Bucky Sager, I've never heard that name, fourth in a Hudson, Lee Petty fifth in a 50 Plymouth, Lloyd Moore in sixth, and Ray Duhigg finished seventh. In the number 44, Julian Petty owned 51 Plymouth. What is that all about? That was not the end of the Northern Swing. On July the 6th, two days later, the series moves into Monroe Speedway in Monroe, Michigan. That's a lot of traveling for 1952.
Yeah, on little two-lane roads. through every little hick town.
Oh, they didn't know they couldn't do it.
Yeah, they was in Owego, New York. 2 days later, Monroe, Michigan. Tim Flock won again. Herb Thomas was second again. Lee Petty third again. Fonnie Flock fourth. Ray Duhigg fifth. That daggone Ray, he's a racing rascal.
Now, back in, like, Bobby, 1952, they would have still been driving the cars.
Probably would. Yeah. Probably would. Yeah, they didn't even have a Kenworth.
Yeah. Or a tow bar.
Yeah, or even a tow bar for most of them.
In this particular race, in this Monroe, Michigan event, also in the field was Ike Katona.
Yep.
I recognize that name.
IMCA Mark champion.
Yeah, he was a road racer.
And a Midwestern guy. He was
Circle Track.
Circle Track. Yeah.
Ike Katona.
Ike Katona. Ray Duhigg. He was from Toledo, Ohio. How in the world did the Petties get up with him? That's a good question.
I don't know the answer.
You don't know that, Tim? He was not there.
I don't know that one.
In none of your travails with the Petties?
No, but you know, somebody was I think it must have been on Facebook, somewhere on social media that I hung out, was telling a story about Richard Petty and his first race. It was so full of errors. You know, I absolutely said, man, what was in that coffee I had this morning?
Yeah, there's a lot of people try to change history. I've seen
that
more than once, yeah.
Here, okay, on July the 4th, 1956, now we're getting to the, this was a good race. This was at the Raleigh Super Speedway, the one-mile paved, short-lived Raleigh Speedway.
With lights.
With lights, yeah. Way so far ahead of its time, it just fizzled out. Winning the race that day on the 4th of July was Fireball Roberts in a Pete DiPaolo 56 Ford, followed by Speedy Thompson in a Carl Kiekhaefer. Chrysler was in second. Frank Mundy in another Carl Kiekhaefer Chrysler was in third. And finally, in fourth place, was Herb Thomas in a 56 Chevrolet. This would be the year of the infamous Herb Thomas crash at the end of the season in 1956 at Shelby Cleveland County Fairgrounds. And it might have been the last year of the Kiekhaefer effort in 1956. But that was about the only Ford in that race, and it won. It was Fireball. So this was the beginning of the Raleigh era. It went on for 56, 57, and 58, and after that, by that time, Big Bill had built Daytona in 59, and he moved the 4th of July race to there, where it is to this day. So, bounced around a lot in the 50s, the 4th of July, but wound up at Daytona. So
that's good little history of it.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see when and if NASCAR dissolves, where all these dates go, or if any of them change.
I don't know if they're ever going to change any of them. Swap them, but I don't know if you're talking about to a different track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if NASCAR is no longer in control of the dates, then I would say all of the dates are up for grabs. But then I guess it depends on who's in control if NASCAR is
not. Why would you think NASCAR is not?
I'm saying when and if they do dissolve.
Oh, well, I noticed that they have moved the Daytona 500 back a week to put it on the President's Day holiday as it used to be.
Yeah. I questioned the sanity of them moving it last year.
And the year before.
Well, yeah. When they moved it, they were kowtowing to the NFL.
Exactly.
Who claimed they were going to add an extra week to their season or whatever the deal was, which I've told the NFL where to pack their fat football. It's just going to run my race, you know.
The only thing is that NFL's drawing a whole lot more fans than NASCAR is right now.
Well, I mean, that's true, and that has always been true. But the fact is, a race fan is going to go to Daytona. You know, I had enough football when I worked for the attorney that represented the players and then turned around and started representing the coaches, and what I learned from the inside of the NFL, I never watch a football game, never. I wouldn't watch it. I don't care for it. I think every player they got out there scumbags, and that's totally, I got no use for
it. You'd watch it if Michael Waltrip was playing.
Ain't no way. I wouldn't even watch basketball. I know way you could get me to watch basketball. Yeah, Patrick's right. Patrick, you're getting on a good vibe tonight. NASCAR got nervous. Yeah, NASCAR got nervous. But what good did it do them? They needed some tranquilizers.
All right, Coastal Jack Walker. It's time for that historic race place, historic race finish from CarolinaRaceplace.zoomshare.com, brought to you in part by Bobby's Auto Parts in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah, man. We got one tonight, too. Going to back to 1971, Nashville Fairground Speedway. The season opening race at Fairground Speedway in Nashville, Tennessee was the Permatex 200 on Saturday, April 17, 1971. The schedule called for a one-day event at the famous 5/8-mile paved oval. The early season race attracted many of the top NASCAR late model sportsman drivers. An entry was received from Red Farmer, the 1970 National Point Champion. Farmer would also be at a disadvantage, however, as he broke his leg 2 weeks earlier in a race at Maryville, Tennessee. The current point leader, Sam Summers, would also be there. Grand National drivers Tiny Lund and Little Bud Moore also filed entries. Race day started off with practice as usual. Race official Joe Carver said that Little Bud Moore of Charleston, South Carolina, complained about not having enough practice time. Moore was then granted an additional practice time. Carver is quoted as saying after the additional practice time, Moore said, "I can't drive this track. It's too damn fast." Moore then left the track and headed back to Charleston. The fastest lap in time trials was turned in by James Hamm of Nashville, driving a 1964 Chevelle. His lap was a new track record of 120.450 miles per hour around the 5/8-mile oval. The 16th place qualifier was Tiny Lund across South Carolina. When it came time to line up the cars before the start of the race, Lund's car had a clutch problem, forcing him to withdraw from the race. As the car circled the track on the parade lap, Red Farmer pulled into the pits for a scheduled relief driver change. Tommy Andrews of Huntsville, Alabama, took over the number 97 Ford. Farmer would receive the points for being in the race. When the race took the green flag, James Hamm led the first lap. Hamm was still leading on lap 48 when his car began to run hot. Seven laps later, he was out of the race with a water pump problem. Darrell Waltrip briefly led, but on lap 54, he had a flat tire. L.D. Ottinger also led a few laps, but he was slow, had to slow his pace because of a rear end problem. Fluky Buford took over the lead and looked like he might go all the way, but on lap 178, he also came into the pits with a flat tire. The next leader was Friday Hassler of Chattanooga, Tennessee on lap 178. Hassler's lead was short as his drive shaft fell out on lap 187.
I hate it when that happens.
Little known Art Ellis held the lead the rest of the way to the checkered flag on lap 200. Ellis had been driving for 21 years, mostly in Texas, and moved to Nashville 3 years earlier. Ellis was truly an underdog, and this was the biggest win of his career. He won $2,750 for the victory before 15,500 fans. Unfortunately, 2.5 months later, on July 5th at Fairgrounds Raceway, Art Ellis lost control on the backstretch in a 35-lap feature race. His car veered off the track, hit a power pole, and overturned. The 39-year-old Art Ellis died of a broken neck at the Speedway that night. Okay, so here's the way they finished. Nashville Speedway, Permatex 200 late model sportsman race, April 17, 1971. The winner, Art Ellis, driving the number 29 Ford. He was from Nashville, Tennessee. Followed by the number 84, Fluky Buford, Thompson Station, Tennessee, and a 66 Ford. Coming in third, Friday Hassler, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Jerry Echoes, Fayetteville, Tennessee. David Sisko, Nashville, Tennessee. Dorman Adams, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. L.D. Ottinger, Newport, Tennessee. Dexter Bradley, McMinnville, Tennessee. Red Farmer with relief driver Tommy Andrews in a 66 Ford came in ninth. Sam Summers, Savannah, Georgia. Bob Burcham, Rossville, Georgia in a Chevelle. Rod Stilling, Nashville, Tennessee. Ben Pruitt, Nashville, Tennessee. Harold Carden, Nashville, Tennessee. Bill Morton, Nashville, Tennessee. Charlie Binkley, Hendersonville, North Carolina. Bob Brown, Milan, Tennessee. Robert Paddlefoot Wales, Pleasant Grove, Alabama. Reed Greenwell, Decatur, Alabama, coming in 20th. James Hamm, Nashville, Tennessee. Darrell Waltrip, Owensboro, Kentucky. Chester Albright, Cedar Hill, Tennessee. Clyde Peoples, Shelbyville, Tennessee. Junior Caldwell, Adolphus, Kentucky. Don Anthony, Birmingham, Alabama, was 25th. Bobby Walker, Nashville, Tennessee. Paul Lewis, Johnson City, Tennessee. Ronnie Blazingham, Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Chuck Hunter, not sure where he was from. And the did not start of Tiny Lund Cross, South Carolina, finished 30th and last. So that's the way it was in Nashville, Tennessee.
Little Bud said the track was too fast.
Too damn fast.
He said it.
Now, I bet Little Bud's got a different view of that.
But I bet he
does,
too.
That was the quote in the news articles.
So, good stuff, man. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Oh, man, we got to dig this stuff up, man.
Yeah.
If we don't save it, nobody else will.
You know, Little Bud was in the 1964 Southern 500.
Yes.
Remember, that's the one he ran in the back of Junior. Yeah, or Junior actually spun
out. He was driving the Lewis Weathersby's number 45.
Yeah, well, when they were lining up on pit road to start the race, Little Bud was so excited he forgot to buckle his helmet.
So for I remember
the
that story.
First half of the race, he was driving, the helmet was spinning around on top of his head. She must have spun around when Junior spun out.
Yeah, I'll bet.
No, I remember that one very. That was a yellow with the red number 45, 63
Plymouth.
And every time he would come into turn three and back off of it, it sounded like firecrackers under 10 Warstow. You know, pop, 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 all the way around through it and start going again. But it was fun watching him.
Yeah, well, see, his helmet was over his eyes. Beetle Bailey was a race driver.
Yeah, he'd go into the third turn, and his helmet would make up a quarter of a turn.
I tell you, he sure shortened up the Junior Johnson number 27 car.
Yes, he did indeed.
Well, you know, Little Buzz's not doing well.
No, he's not.
At all.
Yeah, he was a great interview, though.
Yes. He was. He was so much fun.
Yeah. Yep.
He's a good guy. Very good guy.
Yep. Yep, he was a great interview.
Yeah, we had him back in studio one. Yeah.
A couple times. More than once in the studio.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure did. That was.
What does everybody think of the Charlotte Fall Race on what they're calling the Roval?
What's a Roval?
Is that going to be this year, or is that next year?
I think
year?
It's this year. They're going to run the October race on the road course.
I thought it was the whatever they call it, special race.
The All-Star
race?
Yeah, the All-Star race.
I was thinking that they said that it was going to be the October race.
I don't think so.
They did say it was going to be the October race, but I was under the impression it was going to be October of next year, but then now they're saying since it's a part of the what are they called it now, playoffs or whatever it is going to be this year. So I don't know which is the correct assumption.
That, yeah, the last word that I remember was that it would be on the road course this fall, which is they're calling it the Roval because it's sort of like the road course at Daytona when they run it. They also run the oval. It starts, they run the oval, and just at the end of pit road, the road course turns into the infield, and you make your little trek through the infield, and it comes out just into turn one. Because when you come back out on the oval, you're going almost straight up. It's fun to watch them try to make that left turn when they're going straight up to banking in turn one.
Huh.
So well, we're not I'm, sure what year it's going to be.
No, but I'm getting information via text that it's next year. So I don't know.
It's part of the playoffs, isn't it?
Patrick says
when in
it
fact,
will be.
2018, October 5th.
Yeah, all right, Patrick. Yeah. Okay, so then I had originally thought it was going to be 2018, but then a lot of information going around late that says it's going to be this year. I didn't think they would change it.
I think some of the broadcasters had it wrong.
Well, considering who they have had broadcasting the races for the half a year, if they got anything right, you know, it is a major miracle. I am really surprised that they even know where they are every week. Yeah, it amazes me that they know where they are. And there's a couple of them, I don't think they really know where they are.
Well, doesn't this week begins the NBC part of the schedule?
Yes, I think that's correct. I hope that's correct.
It is. NBC will be doing Daytona.
So did you guys
ever... But Fox keeps the truck races.
Did you guys ever decide who's going to replace Junior?
Nope. We speculated and decided we really don't know.
I think Ryan Truex, even though I can't think of it a while ago.
Somebody
mentioned him. Yeah.
I think number one on the list that they would, in a perfect world, they would get Kyle Larson.
Well, that was what I said, because there may very well be a...
Don't you think he's pretty locked in?
A stolen... Well, yeah, but how much money has Hendrick got? How much money is it that 88 car got in sponsorship?
Of course, Junior said he may run a couple races next year.
Yeah.
Maybe the Daytona 500 for one.
Yeah. If they get somebody like Kyle Larson, he would not. Of course, that doesn't mean necessarily that Junior would run the 88 car.
No.
He would run. He might even be able to run the 8 car again. Now that Teresa seems to be completely out of the picture.
Where is she, by the way?
She's not in the NASCAR, and that's all I want to know.
No, well, I think she's living on some island in the Caribbean, is what I heard, some kind of castle.
All I know is she's not around the track, and that's a good thing for NASCAR, in my opinion.
Well, if they run, would that be a 500-mile race on the road course? That would be a long day.
That'd wear you out.
Yeah, it would. Well, now,
or do you think they'd do something funny like make it 500
kilometers
or
well,
something?
Was it the October race at one time a 400?
Yeah.
So they could make it 400 kilometers, and it wouldn't seem to be, because even 400 kilometers would be a long race running it on the road course too.
All right, I've also got information off of chat that Alex Bowman will be in the 88. And the guy that's putting that information up knows a lot about what he's talking about.
Well, I mean, well, that's possible.
Yeah, very possible.
I mean, that's very, I mean, he did a good job in it last year.
Yep.
That is possible.
Yep.
Well, we don't have long to wait and see.
No.
I mean, we're down to how many races left? 20? It's less than that, right? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Can't keep up with it.
We're down to the 4th of July race. That's where we are.
Except it'd be on the 1st of July, but that doesn't matter. Well, it's on a Saturday for whatever that counts.
Well, I think it makes sense to have it on a weekend rather than a weekday anyway.
Well, I agree, but, you know, I think back all those years that I would get off of work, say it was on a Wednesday, I'd get off of work at 5 o'clock on Tuesday, and we'd pile in the car and drive all night, get down there, watch the race, drive all the way back that afternoon, and then go to work on Thursday. And we did it every year until they moved it to the weekend.
It was.
But how many years younger were you then?
Oh, a couple, I think. You know, it was, you know, wasn't that bad. The real problem was back in those days was going through Georgia at night.
Yep.
Because those sneaky guys with the Georgia Highway Patrol racing team were always sitting by the highway then. You couldn't see them until they saw you. Nowadays, however, when you're on the way to Daytona and you cross the South Carolina line into Georgia, you got a clear shot. You can be in Florida and out.
Hey, guys, Outback Andy Foster just posted on our Facebook Racers Reunion page. He says, hey, guys, excited to go view the Ron Pistana movie next month. I heard that thing was getting ready to come out. We got to figure that out. We need that.
What's the name of the movie?
It's I don't know. Ron Pistana movie, I guess. Cool. We need to get Bill back on one of the shows and talk about that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely. Good news. Andy, if you're still listening, man, post some information up there so we can keep up. Awesome.
Awesome, Bill from Dawson.
Awesome.
What happened to Cody?
Awesome. Cody never showed up. He texted me and said he might be a little late. He's a lot late tonight, that boy is.
Well, yeah.
Well, he ought to be tweeting you. The heck with this texting stuff.
y'all have to get along without me next week. I'll be on vacation.
Now, where are you going now?
Not a honeymoon, not a anniversary, just plain old vacation for a week.
Well, take this and put it up your hat. We ain't going to be here either.
Well, good.
We're going to go on vacation with you.
Well, come on. We'll go fishing.
So no show next week.
No show next week, folks. 4th of July, we're going to celebrate.
Happy 4th of July. Everybody remember what that day means.
Yes,
absolutely true.
And all of our soldiers that made it possible for us to be here to celebrate it.
That's right. Have any of you ever seen the musical 1776?
I have not.
You ought to get it. You ought to rent it from the library or get it from the library or whatever. That is a musical, and it really is based almost authentically on history, so much of it. And it shows things that just make you really appreciate what the framers of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, I mean, really went through to get this whole country started. And then, you know, it just goes from there. And like you just said, Hugh, look what our servicemen have done throughout all these 200 and some odd years to keep the freedom that we have, to keep the country that we have. And it really absolutely irks me when we can't get, like I'm fighting the battle with my church right now. They moved the flag from the front of the church to the back of the church, and now it's hidden behind the door. And this is because our church is supposed to be inclusive. Well, it's really rubbing me the wrong way.
Well, we're all inclusive in this here United States. They need to get over it if they don't like it, because that's
right. Amen, Jefferson. Amen.
All right, we're getting out. Thanks, folks, for tuning in. We love you. Mean it. Thanks to all of you folks that helped us put the show together. Couldn't do that without you. And as always, as we have been, let's give a special thanks to men and the military for doing what they've done and what they do so that we can be here. To each and every one of you, good night and God bless.
Racing through history.